The Functional Nerds podcast is brought to you by MapHook, a location-based social network available for free at maphook.com and as a free iPhone app. Find it, do it, share it, get hooked. MapHook.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Functional Nerds. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. Hi, John.
Hello, Patrick. How are you doing? I am John Anilio. I write songs about science fiction, fantasy, and other nerdy things. You can get all of those songs as a pay what you want over at johnanilio.bandcamp.com, including my most recent song, the Geek Dad song, which really is doing quite well, which I'm real happy about. So please go and download that one for absolutely free. Patrick, who do we have on the show tonight?
This week, we decided to sit down with one of our contributing nerds for the Functional Nerds website, which is Sandra Wickham. And Sandra is, she lives in Canada. I don't know if I mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. The only reason I bring that up is because she pronounced things differently. And I was sitting there going, whoa, that sounded cool.
Well, right, and I noticed in the interview, she also said she went to university.
Yeah.
And that's kind of more of a Canadian thing. You could say that in the States, but you come up sounding like a pompous jerk when you say that in the States. But in Canada, it's totally fine to say that.
Yeah, in Canada and like Great Britain, that's like the coolest thing you can say. It's like you are awesome.
Yeah, I try to say that sometimes, and then I feel like a pompous jerk, so I don't say it. But
But we had a great conversation with her, and we talked about a lot of different stuff, including fitness and her own writing and the kind of transition from being, on the stage and doing the competition kind of stuff that she used to do to being, a writer. So that's really good. Before we get into that, John, I did want to ask you, how's your contest going?
The giveaway contest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I noticed there's quite a few people that have some stuff in the comments, and probably by the time this airs, I will probably have picked a winner already, because we're doing a little bit of time warping with this one.
That was my next question: is when are you cutting that off?
I don't know.
this is a well thought out giveaway.
Yeah, I know. I'm being very professional and very good about it. I don't know. I'm going to randomly pick someone from the comments soon. Probably by the time this airs, I will already have contacted you about it. So I'm sorry about that.
No. I'm just curious. So, yeah. Okay. Well, let's just jump right into the interview then. And then, people don't have to listen to us ramble on.
Ramble on.
And tonight on the line, I have Sandra Wickham. Is it Wickham?
Yes, Wickham.
It is Wickham. Okay.
What did you think it was?
I don't. You know what? I don't trust myself anymore. Okay, I mispronounce names all the time. Why do you think John always introduces the guests?
That could be why. And now we have a problem because he's not here.
Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully he's going to join us in a few minutes. But yeah, I have totally conned him into saying all the names to keep me from having to do it. I'm sorry?
That can be tough.
Yes.
I used to MC for a bodybuilding show, and I had to say everyone's names, and it's not easy. And it's embarrassing when other people know how to pronounce it and you don't.
Yes. Or, you just it's like my own name. People always mispronounce it. They never say the X.
The X?
There's no X in my name. So, Sandra.
You stumped me already.
You're a Twitter bud. We've gotten to know each other on Twitter. You have started contributing to functionalnerds.com with your awesome fitness posts.
Yes, thank you. I'm very happy about that.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about who you are and where you came from?
Oh, my goodness.
The Twitter version. You don't have to,
The Twitter version?
Yeah.
My Twitter version is very short. I'm an IFBB fitness pro. I'm a personal trainer and a ninja in training, as well as a writer.
Now,
That was kind of the summary there.
What does it mean to be a personal trainer?
Well, actually, I really don't like saying that I'm a personal trainer because people instantly get this image in their head of, the headband, wristband wearing tights and all that kind of stuff in the gym, yelling at someone to, one more rep. And that's totally not what I do. My background is from competing, and I train competitors to compete in bodybuilding, fitness, figure, and bikini. And I also train normal people, as I call you guys affectionately. Anyone who doesn't train for competition is a normal person.
The muggles.
Yes, exactly, the muggles, and we're the competitors. So I'm more of a coach, where I don't go to the gym and train anyone anymore. I haven't done that probably for 15 years. So I don't stand next to someone and count their reps or whatever. You know, I spend my time designing programs and diets and things like that, and getting a lot more specific for the competitors.
Well, that's interesting. So is that more like almost like a life coach a little bit? Because you're affecting their life.
It kind of does become like that. It's more, I hate to say this, but it's almost like being a pageant coach, except for us, there's the hardcore training and dieting and things like that. But it also involves, for the competitions, it also involves, you know, what suit you're going to wear, what shoes you're going to wear, how your hair is going to look and your makeup and all that kind of stuff, and working on your posing. And for the fitness girls, choreographing their fitness routines. So, yeah, and I do have to, of course, deal with the mental aspects of competing, which is really, really tough, not only because you're doing an extreme sport, so you're pushing yourself insanely hard. You're also dealing with a really low-carb diet, which makes you tired and cranky and kind of messes with your mind as to how you see yourself and just the pressures of the show. So I do kind of become a bit of a mom as well to the girls.
Now, why the low carb?
That's for competitors to get on stage looking as lean as they do. Oh. So with the competitors, I'm talking extreme stuff. I mean, it's like what you see in the bodybuilders, you know, that kind of intense leanness. So it's not recommended for normal people at all.
Gotcha. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, where do you fall on vitamins?
I think that nowadays we're not getting enough nutrients from our food because of the lack of it in our earth and things like that, and just the processing and the time it takes to get to our plates and all that kind of stuff. So I do definitely advocate taking a multivitamin, extra vitamin C, things like that. But as far as taking anything beyond that, it's totally up to you and what your goals are.
You hear a lot, or at least I hear a lot of people talking about, like, the multivitamins, we're not breaking them down in our body, and so we're expelling a lot of that without it doing us any good. Any thoughts on that?
I think that it's a benefit to still have them, though, because if you're lacking in something, if you can give it to your body, and then your body's going to use something else you give it to then help use those vitamins. Did that make sense?
It did. Okay. And the reason that I kind of take you down this path a little bit is because, you know, we talk about being functional nerds, and you know, I'm a writer, John's a musician. A lot of our listeners are writers or aspiring to be. There's a lot of nerds, you know, there's computer people who sit, you know, all day long working on stuff. And one of the things that you have talked about on Twitter and in your posts is, you know, you got to get up and you got to be active and you got to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, it's easy for me to say because being active and being fit and healthy is just second nature to me. So it's easy for me to say, oh yeah, you should be doing what I'm doing. But I know that it's not that easy for everyone.
No, it's not. It's not for me. Not at all.
Yeah. So it's really about finding out what works for you, what you enjoy doing, and what you're going to stick with. Some people don't work well under deadlines. Other people work great under deadlines. Like, I used to have normal clients who we'd set up a photo shoot date for them. And that would totally inspire them to stick with their plan and everything. And they'd hire a professional photographer for a day, and they'd have that date to go to. Other people, as soon as you set that date, it's like the opposite effect. They start being worse.
Mm.
So you really have to find out what works for you. It's really trial and error. I went through that myself. When I first started competing, there weren't a lot of coaches because it wasn't as big a deal as it is now. So I had to learn by trial and error. So nowadays, what I try and do is help other people skip over some of that trial and error, at least from what I've learned.
What I've found is anytime you can add technology to it, it kind of gets me a little bit more interested.
Well, yeah, that's true. So if you wanted to use, you know, if you want to track your progress, some people like to track the progress. I'm definitely like that. I write down every single weight I lift. And I've been doing it for years and years and years, and I still write it down. Every single workout, everything I do, that's just how I am. I keep a journal. Some people, you know, like to use the apps that are out now.
That's what I'm using.
Are you? Which ones are you using?
So I have Lose It on the iPhone. And I grabbed this because of Tobias Bakel.
Oh, okay.
And met Tobias at World Fantasy last year, and he was, you know, he was talking, he's telling the whole story of his, you know, of everything that happened to him. And to the people listening, if you don't know this story, go to TobiasBakel.com and look it up. It's you know, he was a bodybuilder. That's what he was into, and then he had heart problems, and he found out he couldn't do that anymore. But his body was accustomed to like 5,000 calories a day.
Uh-huh.
Because he was, you know, huge in the bodybuilding. He was trying, I think he said something about like he was pushing to get to 300 pounds bench pressing.
Mm-hmm.
And then these heart problems happen and he can't eat, you know, he can't exercise anymore, but he's still eating. And so, of course, he balloons up. And okay. He still can't exercise. He's not allowed to exercise because of his heart.
I didn't know that. I didn't know this story.
So yeah, he can't bodybuild. I take that back. He can walk,
right.
But he can only walk a little bit.
Wow.
And so he had to figure out a new way to control his weight,
right.
Because he could not do the bodybuilding anymore and the weight training. And so he found the best thing for him was to put an app on his phone and every time he ate something, track it.
Right.
And he played around with a lot of different ones and then he landed on Lose It, which, you know, it tracks your calories. It already has all the food in there, so it searches, you know, like if you're going to Wendy's and you're going to get that cheeseburger, it, you know, you can put in Wendy's cheeseburger and it finds it and it automatically tells you what the calories are. And you can say, here's what I weigh right now. Here's where I want to be. And it sets you a caloric count for every day.
Oh, good. Okay.
And then you can sit there and like, you know, today I had a little Frappuccino. Because I like the little Starbucks Frappuccinos in the bottle. And I had one of those for the first thing this morning. And, you know, that's 180 calories.
I think that those apps are excellent for someone who's starting out, someone who wants to focus on their nutrition, and also just to bring awareness.
I lost 23 pounds.
Excellent. That's amazing.
Yeah, just by using this app. I mean, just by you know, it. What it does is it teaches you really the one thing that I think that you need to do any of this stuff, which is discipline.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a little bit of discipline. You open up that app, you plug in your dinner, you see you only have 100 calories left, and you go, you know what? I'll just have the apple for dessert.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's the awareness. A lot of time, the problem is that people are kind of in a state of denial. I hate to say that because that sounds nasty, but they're not really aware of how many calories they're consuming, or they don't want to know because then they'll have to cut back.
Right.
So that's a good way to understand what you're eating.
And that kind of brings me to like your posts on Functional Nerds. So you talked about you have to get up, you have to do things, you have to take care of your body. You know, just get out, walk a little bit. You know, work in the yard, do something, just get up. Yes. I know a lot of people were doing the stand-up desk.
Yeah, I think the jury's still out on the stand-up desk for me. I understand the idea behind it. Personally, I wouldn't do it, but that's because I work out so much, so sitting down is just fine.
Gotcha.
So I'm eager to find out how it goes for people. I know some people that are using them and how they feel about it.
Well, and now you have the post up about water.
Yes, it's summertime.
It is. And when I talk about the stuff that, you know, where I have changed just what I do, I've been the computer nerd for a very, very long time. And we do a lot of caffeine.
Yes.
And, you know, I have done... In California, I had Water Joe, which was caffeinated water.
Really? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it was at Trader Joe's in California. They're still around, the caffeinated water. It's Water Joe. I want to say it was a 16-ounce bottle of water had the same amount of caffeine as a cup of coffee.
Wow. I have never heard of that before.
Oh, it was so good. And I miss it. because you don't have it here in Colorado. And what was really cool about that was you could make ice with it and then pour your coffee over the ice.
Oh, my goodness.
And I also knew people who would take, like, Jolt Cola, which is the most caffeinated thing you can buy. And, you know, they would use the Water Joe to make ice and pour that over it. Or they would use the Water Joe to make coffee. You know, wow. There's lots of ways to get lots and lots of caffeine.
That's crazy.
The thing that was the worst for me for a very long time has been Mountain Dew.
Oh, and I
drank a lot of Mountain Dew. And so after talking to Tobias, I decided, you know, some things got to change. Number one, I stopped drinking the Mountain Dew all day. Yep. I have, you know, I will go to lunch, and I've changed where I go to lunch. I'll go to lunch and no more cheeseburgers, no more tacos, no more fast food. You know, yeah. I'll go to Subway and get a sandwich with no mayo, no cheese, that kind of stuff. I'll go to Tokyo Joe's and get a chicken rice bowl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'll get whatever regular small drink that they have. And I will have a little bit of pop because, you know, it's all about not denying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get a little bit of pop and I'll eat my lunch and then I throw the pop away and go back to the office and have my water.
Oh, nice.
And so my thing now is never, ever take that with me. Don't refill it. Yes. I only get the one. You know, that's what I get to have with my lunch. And I don't refill it. I don't take it back. And I have my little adult sippy cup, which is it's like a giant 24-ounce cup with a straw you can never lose, you know. And I just keep that with me all day, all night. And I always have that full of water and I just drink water.
That's excellent. I think there's a bit of something about water. And I think I mentioned this in my blog post. My parents were always, when I was little, they were always like, drink the water. It's free. It's in the tap. It's good for you. And it was like the last thing I wanted to drink.
Yeah.
It was the water from the tap. And that's kind of stuck with me, I think, it used to stick with me. And I'd go for anything but water. I just did not want to drink plain water. Of course, now, the last 20 years or so, I've gotten over that. But I think that a lot of people have that stigma about water, that it's boring, it doesn't taste good, and why should I drink it? But it's so important to your body. All of our body's functions need it. And most people don't get enough. And that's the problem where people run into dehydration and constant dehydration without even knowing it. Because instead of drinking water, they're drinking caffeine, and they're drinking, like you said, they're drinking pop, which doesn't count.
Right. And the caffeine dehydrates you faster.
Absolutely. It's going to take that water out of your body.
The first thing I do when people come to Colorado to visit, you know, if I'm going to go anywhere with them, a lot of times I kind of became I call myself the unofficial Colorado travel guide. And when people come to visit here, I load up the Jeep and we go up into the mountains and we go do stuff. And one of the things that I do is I always load up a huge ice chest full of bottled water. And I do that because people coming to Colorado aren't used to the higher elevation. And when I get them out and we go into the mountains and, like, let's say we go to Pikes Peak or we go up to Trail Ridge Road or something and we actually get out and we're walking around, they don't realize how quickly at the higher elevations their body uses up the water.
Right.
And they get dehydrated. And so I will, you know, and I'll force them bottles of water on them. And they're like, oh, I don't really want this. I don't drink that much water. And I guarantee you, I'll get like 24 bottles of water. I'll put it in there. I'll have 3 or 4 or 5 people with me. And within a couple of hours, all that water's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. You need it. Your body needs it.
You absolutely.
And unfortunately, people don't like to drink it. And the other problem is, and I think I say this in the blog too, is that people will complain that they don't want to have to go to the bathroom all the time. And that drives me nuts because that's what your body is supposed to do. It's supposed to do that. You're supposed to take it in and get rid of it on a regular basis. I know every bathroom everywhere I ever travel. Yes, you have to stop and use the bathroom all the time, but usually you can't.
Hey, you know what? When I was on the road, I knew everywhere the clean bathrooms were.
Yeah, that too. Well, yeah.
I'm gonna let John come in. He's gotten online, so give me just a second here. And John, you're joining us now.
I am.
Everything okay? You good?
I'm good. Go? I'm good.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I lead a busy life. You know, I can't always make it in time for the podcast. Well, actually, this is, I think, the first time I've ever come in midway. But.
Well, and for the benefit of our listeners, we are doing this on a different day than normal. So that kind of throws everything off.
That was my fault because I have martial arts on the night you guys wanted to record.
Well, and no, you know, you're a very fit person. You do the bodybuilding stuff, and to be frank, we're a little bit scared of you. So we didn't want to piss you off. Now you're doing the martial arts thing. I mean, we just, you know, we didn't want to piss you off.
As you should be. For most of my life, doing this competing and stuff, I've always looked like I can kick ass. So I finally decided that maybe I should actually take martial arts so I can look like it and I can actually kick ass.
There you go.
Very good. Well, you know, what I wanted to sort of jump in with is that I met Sandra as half of the people, or more than half, probably like 3/4 of the people that contribute to the Functional Nerds. I met everybody at World Fantasy. And that's what I've just been asking everybody I've met at World Fantasy to do something since then. And Sandra and I guess we met at one of the room parties on the Saturday night.
Oh, now be honest. I totally cornered you, and I was totally drunk.
Oh,
like, you probably don't know who I am, but
so now I want to hear the story.
No, it's not that interesting, but
oh.
No, all I remember is Sandra was she was had fangs in.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You had fangs on. Maybe that's your real teeth, and maybe you wear regular people teeth the rest of the time. But you had fangs, yeah. And I think you had like these crazy blue contacts, like vampire kind of contacts going on as well. It's
interesting that you say that because I think that's the picture that she has on Skype right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? Oh, that's from the World Horror Convention. I think the launch of Evolve was in Brighton at the World Horror Convention last year, and I dressed up for that, and there was a big signing and stuff. But I forgot that I had that stuff, and that was my stealth costume at World Fantasy.
Mm-hmm,
is that why you were looking at me funny when you were talking to me? That's why.
Well, and it's funny because Sandra, as fit as she is, she's in some. If you look at some of her competition pictures, it does look like, oh my god, she could kill me. But Sandra is actually, at least my, and I'm not a big man, but I don't recall her. You know, she looked actually somewhat. I don't want to say
you're gonna say tiny, yeah. Aren't you? Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. When we get on stage, it's all an illusion, really. Like when I get into the contest shape, you're so lean that you look a lot bigger than you are. Mm-hmm. When I used to see the girls in the magazines back when I was first competing, I thought, oh my gosh, they're huge. And then I met them in person. They're just little tiny things, but they're ripped.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because I remember, at some point later, I remember looking at your website and my wife was there and I'm like, I met this woman, and I don't remember her looking quite like this.
Like, well, don't walk around like that all the time, you know. That
I can see it now. Sandra walks into the local coffee shop. You know, she pushes her arms out and down, looking up. And,
no. That's not how it goes. No.
Anyway, so Sandra and I, you know, we just were chatting as you do at the conventions, and we started. I think it was sort of like a "Hey, what do you do?" kind of a thing that she did to me, and I said like, "Oh, you know, I do my music thing, and I host this podcast, and I think you might have actually heard of it, which was nice." But you were also talking about you were talking about some of the other podcasts you listen to. I think I remember you talking about Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing and a couple of the other ones.
Yep.
Yeah. So we were just talking about podcasting, and it was what struck me when at World Fantasy, at least at that portion of the night, was how bonded a lot of the Ink Punks folks were between yourself and Andy. I always say his name Romaine, but it's Romaine. I always want to say his name like it's lettuce. And Tracy. Welser, and everybody else, and it was really nice to sort of be around that. And we've sort of
they've adopted us.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was going to say we sort of Borged you guys into the functional nerd, so we're just sort of melding.
No. They adopted us.
Yeah. So anyway, so
they've been so kind, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. And so, Sandra, why don't you tell us a little bit about your writing and what you were there for at World Fantasy to promote? Because I'm pretty sure you had a story in one of the anthologies that was there. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about that particular thing that you're doing at World Fantasy, and then about your writing in general.
Well, I'm just at the conventions to socialize, really. No. I've become a bit of a convention junkie. I just discovered them in 2008. World Fantasy was in Calgary. And I actually heard about it, I think, on Sean Farrell's podcast on Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing is how I first found about conventions. And I went to my first one, and I got completely hooked. And then I got my first story published in Evolve, Vampires of the New Undead, edited by Nancy Kilpatrick. And they launched that at the World Horror Convention in 2010. And they also had an event at the World Fantasy. It's starting to all blur together, but in 2010 as well. So I actually had to read, I don't know if you remember this, John, but I had to read my story from Evolve after you did your Rigor Immortis song.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do kind of recall that
now.
Remember
that? Yeah. I was like, Janet asked me to read next. I was like, really? I have to follow that? Yeah, so I did get to read my story from Evolve.
Have you noticed that there's no MP3 of the Rigor Immortis song out there anywhere?
I was just thinking about that the other day because it's a little NSFW that
song.
Yeah,
I know.
I actually I'm sorry to like sort of cut you off, Sandra, but
that's okay.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, that's a good song though, and our Schuller Devin co-wrote that with me, and he has a story in the Rigor Immortis as well. And I was thinking that's a good song, so my plan is to maybe actually try to record that, you know, well, and maybe put that out in October, so you know, have sort of a zombie Halloween.
Excellent. I only bring it up because when Sandra says, you know, I have to follow that, you know, none of our listeners really know what that is.
I know.
You can kind of imagine what it.
Yeah.
Was. Yeah.
Right.
I also actually at that World Fantasy, I also managed to kind of beg my way onto a panel. So I got to sit on a panel about vampires at that convention as well. Yeah. It was very sweet.
So I just want you to tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the rest of your writing and how you kind of got into where you're at now, because, you know, obviously you're a fitness professional and that's a big part of your life. And, you know, they seem to be, well, I don't know, everybody should stay in shape. It's not like there's such, you know, the two should be so different, but it seems like pretty different interest is to be into, you know, doing your fitness thing and your martial arts and everything, and then doing your writing. So maybe you could talk about how your writing fits into your life, how you, and, you know, have you been more serious about it in recent years, or has it been something you've always been very serious about? So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Certainly I can do that. I actually always wanted to be a writer when I was little. And I wrote my first novel when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And it was exactly the same as the book I was reading at the time, which I believe was George MacDonald, The Goblin Princess. And then I went to university for English and drama and got that all just sucked right out of me from having to read so much and write so many essays and stuff. I just completely stopped reading and writing pretty much after I got my degree and went traveling for a while. And then I got into competing. And we were already talking a little bit about low carbs before. And when you're on really low carbs for getting ready for a contest, you have very little brain power, which is just a good shout out to people if they're trying to do low carb diets. I don't encourage it because you really become stupid. And so there was no way that I could write just as well as the intense training involved and the intense focus involved. I wouldn't be able to write while I was doing that. So I retired in 2008. I don't like to say retired because makes me sound old, but I stopped competing in 2008 and started writing again. And then I had my first story accepted at the end of 2008, which pretty much gave me the confidence to keep going with the writing. So it's just been since then that I've been taking it seriously. One thing I have found from my fitness background is that it absolutely completely translates over into my writing now, as far as discipline and the way I approach it. So when I was training for competitions, I would be training 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day, with 1 day off. So I try and do the same thing with my writing now, 6 days a week, 1 day off. I just totally lost my train of thought there.
I'll jump in because I am, I think I am not athletic really in any way, but I sports as a kid, and especially in middle school and in high school, I played football and I wrestled. And I think doing those two things, even though I was not good at either of them, and I just did them because I was a fat kid and my mom made me do sports so I would be less fat. So
I played the perfect sport for fat kids. I was a baseball player.
Yeah. No, my mom was like, you got to go run a little more because you're fat. Run around, fatty.
Oh, my high school PE teacher was like, I got the worst PE teacher. I got the cross-country track teacher as my PE teacher in high school. Mm-hmm. All he wanted us to do was run.
Yeah. But the thing is that when I played football, and because I was kind of a smaller, even though I was fat, I was kind of short. And I eventually lost a lot of weight from doing football. I just lost a ton of weight just from being active when I wasn't very active when I was like in the eighth grade. But when I got to high school, my feet sort of, I have sort of duck feet. So I don't run well at all. I just don't run fast. So I was a lineman. Well, you can imagine like 165 pound lineman. Right. It doesn't really do too well. So right. I got very into lifting weights when I was in high school. And, that sort of discipline of lifting weights and just sort of seeing your progress, okay, I can lift this much weight with this much reps, on this day. And I had like the whole big chart and everything. I had the big piece of poster board where I'm like, all right, I'm lifting whatever this. And then I remember specifically charting it over one summer and seeing how much stronger I was at the end of just 3 months. And that really helped me later on with music, believe it or not, because I got into music late. I didn't start playing the guitar until I was 16. And I did that where when I got into it, I got so into it and I made my chart and I had all my things that I was to practice and I had my metronome markings for my scales and I marked it down every day. Like, all right, I'm playing this scale at this metronome marking at this tempo on, July 3rd. And on July 4th, I'm playing it at this tempo and then keeping track and just being so focused and disciplined. And I think sports and lifting weights, I think if you do that, especially if you do that as a younger person, I think it really helps with your discipline for any endeavor. And that was my experience with it. So I'm always thankful that I did that stuff when I was younger, because I think it sort of set me up to sort of set goals and that type of thing.
Absolutely. And for me, it's also when I was doing the competitions, there was no choice. I had to train. I didn't have an option. And so I treat my writing the same way, or I try to at least, so I don't feel like writing. So what? I have to sit down and I have to do it. And it also, like you were saying, it helps with the goals. You're used to setting goals. And so for my writing, I'm definitely a goal setter. I like to keep track of things as well. So I definitely keep track of my word count and all that kind of stuff too.
Well, yeah. And with the writing though, you can also have a slice of banana nut bread every once in a while.
Well, I guess that's okay. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, you talk about word count. you talk about word count. One of the reasons why I'm a musician who happens to talk to a lot of authors is because I did do NaNoWriMo 2 years. It was one of those things where it was a couple of years ago and it sort of led me into where I'm at now. And that was what was appealing about doing NaNoWriMo. I wasn't a writer, but there was a real structure to NaNoWriMo. All you had to do was write whatever it is, like 1600 and something words a day for 30 days, and you'll have 50,000 words at the end of 30. And that's a novel, really technically a novelette. But I'm like, I can do that. I don't know how to write it all. And the two NaNoWriMo novels I wrote are steaming piles, and I have no – I never really had a desire to be a writer. I just, for some reason – I started reading about it the months leading up to NaNoWriMo that year, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I don't know what compelled me to do it, but I did.
And that sort of structure works for you, and it applies back to the fitness and health, too, for people who are trying to get into fitness. If you're that kind of person that likes that structure, then you need to look for that in your fitness program or in what you're doing for your fitness as well. Because some people don't like NaNoWriMo and wouldn't want to do that fast, and that's the same sort of thing with their fitness program. Then something that's really structured might not work for them.
Sure. I mean, there's what it comes down to is there's always more than one way to do things, but you have to kind of find the way that the way that works best for you.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about that before you got here.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. So I don't know how long you guys have been talking, Patrick. I don't know if you want to keep going for a while, if you had other things you wanted to ask.
Well, there's a couple more things I wanted to ask her, and then we can let her go.
Okay, sounds good.
We haven't talked about the Ink Punks yet, really.
We haven't talked about the Ink Punks yet. Okay. You talked a little bit about Evolve. Now, didn't you say you had something else coming up?
I am also going to be in Evolve 2. It's actually nice. Evolve Vampires of the Future Undead. And that, I believe, is coming out in the fall this year. Also edited by Nancy Kilpatrick and published by Edge. I just had a story up on Cross Genres last month. And I also have a podcast story up. It's called Chronicles of the Order is the anthology, and it's stories based in Philippa Ballantyne's novel, Geist.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with Philippa, with Kip, and her podcasting and all that, but she invited me to write a story for that, which I was extremely thrilled to do.
Had a lovely conversation with her over on the SF Signal podcast.
She's great. I just love her. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at right now. But really, my thing is really novels, even though I haven't published anything yet. But you hear people say I'm a short story writer or I'm a novelist. And for the longest time, I didn't really know what that meant. But I'm pretty sure I'm a novelist.
I am too.
Yeah. Are you? Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
Because lots of people I know like writing short stories, and that's not – I prefer to write novels. And I like the short stories as a challenge. I like writing to a theme, but my heart is in the novels.
I have tried several times. You know, I recently wrote what I was hoping was going to be a short story, and I sat down and I said, this is going to be a short story. I set myself a goal in Scrivener. This is how many words it's going to be. Absolute maximum is going to be 5,000. I really want to be around 3,500, though. It's going to be perfect. You know, 10,000 words later.
That's how it goes. I'm loving Scrivener, by the way.
Oh, yes. I helped you set that up one night.
I'm completely in love with it now and using it for my new novel. Yeah.
Oh, it's I love it. I need to buy, you know, they need to go public so I can buy stock.
Yes.
So the only other thing I wanted to ask you about was Ink Punks.
Yes.
So let's talk about the Ink Punks.
If you guys don't know or are listening who the Ink Punks are, we're just a group of emerging writers that have come together. And I thank the writing gods every day that I ever met them in the first place. And we all have kind of come together. I met Christy Yant at World Fantasy. And also thanks to Twitter, a lot of us have come together. Mm-hmm. I was in my room at World Fantasy there by myself, and she was tweeting from the lobby. And she was like, anybody wants to come down, just come join me. And I was like, okay, I'll be there in a sec. We went down and we started hanging out. And I will also take credit for that's when she met John Joseph Adams.
Ooh.
I'd met him before, and I knew someone that I knew Robert Bland, who he was with. So I introduced them, sort of. So I'm taking credit for that.
and they're getting married.
And they're getting married at Worldcon in August.
Anyway, yep.
Very excited. And I think that might be the first time all of the Ink Punks are going to be together in person for the first time ever.
Wow, that's awesome.
Very excited, yeah. So then we met Christy, knew John Remy, who I then met. And we ran into Erica Holt at that same convention, as well as Morgan Dempsey. And then we kind of have brought some more people in online. It's slowly growing as we meet new people. And we basically just help each other out and support each other. It's a group of very positive people. I can also take credit for the idea of starting a website together, because people were starting to notice us on Twitter and seeing how supportive we were of each other. And I thought maybe we should start a blog and kind of share our experiences with other emerging, struggling writers.
Yep, and that's inkpunks.com.
It is, and that's our blog, and we take turns blogging. We've had some guests blog, such as yourselves.
Yeah, we were thrilled. We were thrilled to get asked to write something for that.
So,
you going to say something, John?
Nah.
We were. I mean, it's just kind of interesting because, you know, when you say to two people, hey, why don't you write a post for us? Then those two people sit down and go, okay, now what the hell are we going to do? We're two people. How are we going to do this? And we kind of came up with the idea of let's come up with a premise for it. And then I'll write a couple paragraphs and send them to you, John. You write a couple paragraphs and send them to me. And we'll just kind of riff off each other that way.
I was wondering about that because it came across very professional. And I was wondering, like, did they have this already, like, prepared?
No.
Like, what?
No, we decided on what it was going to be. We had a deadline, obviously. And I wrote a couple paragraphs and I sent it to John. And he's like, oh, I really like where you're going with this. And then, you know, he writes a couple of paragraphs and sends it back to me. I look at what he's done and, you know, I respond to him. It's just like what we do on the podcast.
Yeah, it actually worked out pretty well. It wasn't really all that much writing. Patrick wrote his first couple of paragraphs. And then, like you said, we just went back and forth and didn't do a lot of crazy editing or anything. Patrick and I could talk a lot, so we can both write a lot about this stuff. So it's, but no, we really thank you for having us on. It was really, because I like doing writing like that, and I'm always happy to have the opportunity to do it. You know, I think with a lot of this, I know for me sometimes I'm always wondering what I should be doing with my time, because I think most of the people, like the Ink Punks and a lot of the other people that I think we all associate with online, you know, we're not young kids. I mean, we're not getting Social Security yet either, but you know, we all have lives, you know, we all have jobs other than our writing or our music or what have you. And we all, a lot of us are in relationships or are married or have kids and families and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you have to be really, I know for me at least, and I imagine the same as with you, you just have to be really, you know, clear with your time, because you don't have time to do everything. So I know a lot of times I get ideas for things and I'm like, well, is that really what I want to spend my time on doing? Because if I spend my time doing that, then I'm not going to be able to do this. So it was nice to sort of have an opportunity to write something like that, because I have ideas to write things like that, but it's like, well, if I do this, then I'm not going to be able to do that. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my day, we used a C prompt on a computer.
Yeah. It is partly about priorities and, you know, what you have to cut out and what you have to keep. But we're glad. We were thrilled to have you guys there. And I just recently started doing a podcast series, Forbidden by Books, the website, and I'm calling it Sound Bites. And I'm interviewing urban fantasy writers for it.
Oh, cool.
So it's good for me to read it. Yeah, I did do a podcast. I did a 17-episode podcast for fitness and figure competitors, but it's so old that I took it offline and have just started doing this new one. And I don't tell anyone this, but I may have mentioned to the Ink Punks that I might want to do an Ink Punks podcast. But
there you go.
But I don't know if they're sold on, the rest of the Ink Punks are sold on it yet, so I'll have to keep working on them, but... Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, why don't we, Patrick, I don't know if you had any more questions.
I was going to say, let's wrap it up. Let's tell people, you know, obviously inkpunks.com, but tell them about your website, where they can find you online, your Twitter, your Facebook, all that kind of good stuff.
Okay. Well, coincidentally, I just launched my two new websites today. This morning.
Nice.
Yes. I split my personalities into two. I decided it was time. And sandrawickham.com is now my writing website and everything writing related. So I have a link to the Functional Nerds columns and the Ink Punks blog and all that stuff. And then sandrawickhamfitness.com is now my fitness one. Everything fitness, my competitive training, my training of normal people. I say that with air quotes. I'm actually making air quotes, but you can't see me. Normal people, ebooks and all that kind of stuff is on the fitness site. So, and I use my own name on everything because I'm used to self-promotion from the fitness industry. It's all about self-promotion, and I'm finding the same thing with writing. So Twitter is Sandra Wickham, Facebook, Sandra Wickham, and sandrawickham.com.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, you guys.
Looking for interesting places near you? Find them with MapHook, a location-based social network available for free at MapHook.com and as a free iPhone app in the iTunes Store. Find it, do it, share it, get hooked. MapHook.com.
And we're back. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Sandra Wickham. Go and check all of her stuff out, as well as her fitness nerd columns over at functionalnerds.com. You can also find lots of other cool articles over on functionalnerds.com, including the booze nerd columns and the food nerd columns and the art nerd columns. And we have a nerd for everything these days. So it's really good. So go and check all that stuff out, as well as our reviews and such. This week, I do have the Geek Dad song out still. So please go and check that at johnandelio.bandcamp.com. patrickanilio@facebook.com, and you can follow me at twitter.com/JohnAnilio. Patrick, what do you have going on this week?
Oh, the usual stuff. Over at sfsignal.com, we're running the sci-fi trivia contest with Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing, and I should be writing.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean contacted us and said that, you know, they're going to give away 16 Pyre books. So 16 books from Pyre. This is what you could win if you do the trivia contest. And essentially, you just have to listen to the three podcasts. And if you listen to the three podcasts, at some point in the, you know, in June, we're going to, in possibly July, we're going to read a question. And then you get all the three questions and you get the answers and you send them in to Sean over at Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing, and he's going to do a blind drawing and you could possibly win tons of books.
I can't believe you guys are doing an X-Men like crossover where you're going to make people buy X-Factor and X-Force. I can't believe it.
And Power Pack.
And Power Pack. I can't believe you're making people buy Power Pack.
Yes.
No, I think that's a really cool idea.
And then it's funny because the Fall of the Mutants, the one thing that did piss me off was the fact that I had to buy a Power Pack.
Yeah. What was Power Pack? I don't even remember.
That was the kids, the little kid mutants. It was the family, the little four or five kids or something. Oh, my God.
Was you it know, fairly short-lived? Or?
I think it was, yes.
Yeah.
When you're reading Wolverine and, you know, Wolverine is going through Japan, you know, cutting people's heads off, and then you switch to Power Pack. That's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of got me out of comics when it was just every 6 months it was a massive crossover. And
it's even worse now.
Is it really?
I think it is, yes.
That's a shame. Yeah. That is a shame. But anyway, we digress.
We digress, yes. But, you know, other than that, everything's going good. Happy times. I've got all my stuff going on as normal. Twitter.com/ATFMB, Facebook ATFMB, ATFMB.com, you name it. Shadowbites.com, the webcomic's doing good. You know, everybody should go check out all that stuff.
Cool. All right, everybody. Well, we will see you next week.
We don't actually see them, John.
We will. You will hear our voices next week.
There you go.
You will. Angry robots.